All right, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, very familiar passage for a lot of folks. In verse 16 is familiar. We're going to be looking at a few verses. We'll start, I believe, in verse 14. You know, teenagers love, as I call them, buffets. Teenagers love buffets. And some, it doesn't matter, almost any type of food. You know, they have Chinese buffets, which, you know, you can get basically anything, cat, dog, a whole bunch of things that are there. And then basically check yourself into an ER right afterwards, and you got pizza buffets, you got the CC's. My wife knows this. As you get older, I think that you start realizing, one, the type of people that go to buffets, and that it's not good for you, because that person that's there that basically needs the whole booth, all right, they are the booth, all right? They are the booth, but you're like, yeah, that's probably not good for me. To eat there, but so you know some of that's not good for you. But then you're watching people as they're going through and they're sneezing, they're picking their nose and then reaching in and grabbing stuff. And you're like, I don't know if I should eat that, you know, there. So you have that with buffets, but in the teen years, nothing really matters. It's food. It's food. So, you know, you got Chinese, you got pizza buffets. I mean, now they have ice cream. They got ice cream buffets, all right, that you just go in and just eat and eat and eat. But somebody mentioned this, and they said, wouldn't it be nice if you could just kind of go to a buffet and eat all week or eat that day for all week? And I'm like, I don't know that I'd like that. for time management, I guess. It would be, you could go in there and eat pig out, and basically that would take care of your whole week. Or maybe you could eat at a buffet for a day, for 1 month. There's a lot of people that eat enough for a month. But if that would take care of your month's, limit for food, you pay the price of the buffet, pile it on, and you're done with eating for a week or a month. But it doesn't work that way, and you know that. No matter how much you eat off that buffet, normally, pretty soon afterwards, guess what happens? You're hungry again. And so, you're going to be hungry and you're going to be hungry. And yet, what's interesting to me, and we're talking about the Word of God, is there's many people that think spiritually you can do that. Oh, you weren't supposed to apply it. That's just something like, ow, you know what, that was kind of funny. No, it's not, all right? Because you know that. Spiritually, some of you, last week you picked this up. You thought you could eat on Sunday and it could last till today. And guess what, on Monday, you were hungry. And on Tuesday, you were hungry. And on Wednesday, you were hungry. And our desire is to help you and to give you tools so that all during the week, spiritually, you can get in the Word of God. Because we need to be spiritually fed. In the Bible here, notice in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to look at just a few points this morning. You see six things that jump out of this passage in 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. This is the verse that's familiar. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, as profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would do that which I can't, and that is speak to hearts. Lord, we ask and claim your power. We ask that the Word of God that you have given us would be very special. It would mean more and more to us as we go through each day in our Christian life. Help us not to discount the value of the scriptures that we have before us. Thank and praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we have this passage. And there's a lot of people that have a lot of different ideas about churches. You can go and you can get all kinds of books at Christian bookstores. They're promoted in Christian magazines. You can go to Amazon and you can type in, what should our church be like? And there's all kinds of books written by pastors, non-pastors, people that think the church should be this or that. But this is what I believe as a church. You know, there's seeker friendly, there's, hip hop friendly. There's all kinds of different ideas out there about a church. But this is what I think that we should be. We should be a church that honors the Word of God. Number one, our primary goal is to honor the Word of God. Does that mean all the time that our church is going to be popular? No. Why? Because society changes. Fads come and go. But the Word of God stays the same. And so I am anchored to the Word of God. So if society changes a little bit, that's fine. But my life is going to be anchored here. And that's why the Bible says that some people are tossed by every wind of doctrine. You know why they're tossed about by every wind of doctrine? Because they have no anchor. Their anchor is maybe popularity. Their anchor is, hey, how many people are coming to our church? Now, I think that people should come to church. I love coming to church. I love coming to hear about God's Word. But you know what? Sometimes it's not popular. It's not very popular today. I guarantee this weekend that national parks, state parks, all kind of county parks are jammed. And tomorrow, they started their weekend traveling yesterday. Hey, it's a weekend. Let's go away. But you know what? For the weekend, for me, I'm thinking about church. I want to get to church. Why? Because I know the rest of the week, I need church. I need church to have challenged me and stirred me up. Challenged me to get into the Word of God. This morning, I want to look at the power of the Word of God in our lives. Now, you'll notice, first of all, in this passage, he's telling them to continue. But notice what he said in verse 15, and that from a, what did he say? A child. That's why we spend a lot of money right out here to bring children into church. Some people, in fact, in our community, there's people that don't like it. There's people that say that we're wrong. And part of it, I think they're convicted because they do zilch to get anybody to church. When I'm knocking on doors, there's somebody that I was knocking on a door yesterday, and my son knows this. Man, you just want to say all kinds of things. And I got a sarcastic tongue, but I'm like, bite it. So I got bite marks all over my tongue today because, I knock on the door and, Miss Krabby came to the door. And there she is, like, hey, you got a permit? A permit? For what? To be nice to you? No, I don't. In fact, I was just going to give you this money. But since you're such a jerk, I have to put it back in my pocket. Now, like I said, I've got all kinds of marks on my tongue because I'm like, stop, don't say it. Like, permit? Like, wow. And I know, and I've been knocking on doors for years and years. And I've had people say, you know what, I go to another church. And I've learned to say nice things now. And I'm like, oh, I understand. But at our church, we don't mind other people coming. I know other churches, they're kind of inclusive and stuff like that. But our gospel is so amazing, we don't mind sharing it. Then they don't know what to say, because they're like, oh, I was just a jerk. I was saying that I go and we don't invite anybody else. So what do you say? Smile. Have a great day. Because it is amazing. It's amazing what people think. And what I was saying is that it's amazing to me that people would gripe. Everybody's got a gripe. But people would gripe about people bringing children to church. I know we live in a creepy society. We're not taking advantage of some children. But if the world says that a young little child, a five-year-old or a six-year-old or a seven-year-old needs education and they pick them up and take them to a school and 40 hours a week they pump their head full of silly education. And I'm for education. We have a school. So don't you think Bible education is important? And if a parent, maybe they don't understand a lot about the Bible, then guess what? We're going to help them. That's what we're about. So children, that's why we have a Sunday school program. Because as a little child, we want our children learning the importance of the Word of God. It's valuable. So notice in verse 15, number one, what is the power of the Word of God? What can it do? Look at the first thing it does. It's able to make thee wise unto what? Salvation. You know what? The Word of God saves us. The Word of God. I would have no clue of how to get saved without the Bible. Just so you know, I wouldn't. I wouldn't have a clue of how to get saved. I could just make up a lot of things, and there's a whole lot of churches, there's a whole lot of religions, there's a whole lot of cults that make up a lot of things. I mean, I was preaching last Sunday morning while they were having the teen service here. I was right outside of Chicago preaching at a church, and I told them I was preaching on soul winning, and I was saying, you know what? I would love to make up my own idea about salvation. Because there's guys, I mean, you've heard of silly Scientology. I mean, it's ridiculous. And of course, you know, the brightest and the best fall right in line to Scientology. Who's that? Oh, Hollywood actors and stars. That's why I go right to them when I want to know what to do with my life. You're so stupid. Excuse the vernacular. I know, and in the Greek, I can't remember what that word is. But they're so silly that they, here's a guy that comes up with this, I mean, it has nothing to do with, I've looked up some of it. It's all kind of power of positive thinking and bettering yourself. But you know how you gain rank in Scientology? Give more money. Now, I would love to make that up here. You know how you get saved? You go, let me see your checking account. I'll have a line up here, and right after church, I will check your checking account, and if you have enough money, I can promise you, you can be saved. And guess what? Hollywood actors are lined up out the door. It's not our banquet either. They're lined up out the door saying, how do I do this? Oh, here's $2 million. Here's $5 million. And you're stupid. What in the world? Now, I would love to make up some silly thing of how to get saved and say, you give me enough money, I guarantee you, you're in heaven. All right? And guess what? I own my jet, an island. I own all this type. No. I have to be true to God's word. This Bible can get you saved. It saves us. That's the power of the Word of God. That's why in the next 4 weeks, what are we trying to get you to do? It's who's your Bible days. What's that about? The Bible. Because the Bible, guess what it can do to our community? It can save them. Man, they're having a problem in their home. They're having a problem in their marriage. They don't know what to do, and sin has inundated their home and their life. It's ruined them. What are they supposed to do? Get in the book. The Bible saves us. That's the power of the Word of God. Notice what else it does. One man appropriately took the next four things. And this is what he said. Look at verse 16. It divides it and it gives us four things. All scripture is given. And what is it profitable for? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. One commentator, he said this. He said, the Bible tells you what is right. It tells you what's not right. It tells you how to get right and then how to stay right. That's what those four words basically mean. So not only does the Word of God save us, the Word of God teaches us. Did you notice in 2 Timothy, what it's saying is that you are taught the Holy Scriptures. You're taught the Holy Scriptures. Now, and if you know the Bible, Paul is writing this in 2 Timothy. The New Testament hasn't been written. Does that make sense? The New Testament hasn't been written. So what does it mean, just the Old Testament? No, it means the whole Bible. It's the Old and New Testament that is inspired and given to us. And what can it do? It can teach us. It can help us. This is the Bible. You know, the Greek word here, all scripture is given by inspiration. There's two words there, and it means God breathed. So what does it mean when God breathed? There's another time when God breathed. It's found in Genesis. Remember God breathed there? And what did he breathe into man? The breath of what? Life. So remember the verse we read in Hebrews chapter 4 at our greeting time? It said the word of God is what? Quick. What does that word mean? It's an old English word that means alive. You know what this book? It's alive. It's God breathed. God breathed into this book just like he breathed into man. And what happens? Man became a living soul and this became a living book. So God, the Word of God can save us. The Word of God can teach us. That is what is right. Then notice in verse 16 there, it's for reproof. The Word of God not only saves us and teaches us, it confronts us. Remember Jesus Christ when he was here on this earth, in Matthew chapter 9, he confronted people. It says in Matthew 9, and behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, not to himself, but out loud, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? You know what? Christ, when he was here on this earth, he was about confronting that which was wrong. And you know what the Word of God will do for you? You get enough of the Word of God in you. That's why we preach on it. That's why we teach on it. That's why we say read it daily. If the more you can get in this book, the better it's going to help you. Why? Because it saves us. It teaches us. Then it confronts you. When I'm in this book, you know what it tells me? Just like Christ. Why did you think that? Why did you think that? I don't know. I'm hearing a kickback. I think somebody has their earpiece really loud for the translator. Am I true? Are you guys hearing it? I'm hearing a translation thing. So if you have it really loud, all right, there's like maybe five pews around you that are all hearing it in Spanish. All right? So if you have a translation thing, maybe turn it down just a tad. But what is the Bible telling us here? It's confronting us. So the Word of God saves us, it teaches us, it confronts us. So there are some times, and this is what Matthew 9 was saying, Christ could even see their thoughts. And the Bible says the Word of God is quick and powerful, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents. You know what this book does to me sometimes? All right, it's a discerner and it confronts you. I think it was last Monday. It might have been 2 weeks ago. Yeah, it was 2 weeks ago. Remember on a Sunday night, we were voting on something. And I don't know, maybe you're a visitor here and you haven't caught it. But I can be sarcastic. I don't know. Usually I'm not that way. All right, but I can be sarcastic. All right, so it was on a Sunday night. We were voting on something, and basically I can remember. And my wife normally is very nice the way she says stuff, just very loving. Like, you jerk, you said this. And so I was thinking about it on either Sunday night or Monday morning, and I was going up to meet with Pastor Lewis. And on Sunday night, we were taking a vote on the budget, and then I had a deacon's list. And basically, I told the church, if you don't vote for the deacons, you're an idiot. Now, that I didn't say it that way, but basically I came across in my sarcasm saying, you idiot, if you vote, you don't, which I don't want to do that. And man, I'm driving back. I've had a good time with Pastor Lewis. And guess what? God, I've been reading some passages out of James, and God took one of those things and just was like, poof, just hit me with it upside the head. I'm like, hey, I am driving. There are safety issues here. And man, he was beating me up and down saying, shut your mouth. Would you just maybe ask for some help? Because guess what the Bible can do? It can confront you. It can tell you, you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have done that. That deed that you did, it was wrong. That's what I love about this book. It helps me live a clean life and a pure life and a holy life. And man, it doesn't. This is what the amazing thing about the Word of God. It doesn't, when God does that, it doesn't make me say, no, I don't want more of it. It makes me say, no, I do want more of this. He's able to deal with you in a right way and in a holy way and in a loving way. All of it together. He confronts us. That's the beauty of the Word of God. We said there's a couple of things here. So we said the Word of God, remember our passage, it's able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So the Word of God can save us. Then we said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine. That's teaching. All right, so the Word of God can save us. It can teach us. Then reproof, that's confronting. So the Word of God can save me. It can teach me. It can confront me. But then notice what else it does. Then it doesn't just leave me there for correction. That's writing me back. It corrects me. So, you know, there are some people that come and they'll just say, that's bad. Like, I know that. That's really bad. But then you never know what good is. But you know what the Bible does? It tells me what good is. What is good? So let me give you a simple example. We're there in Timothy. So go to Philippians. Look at Philippians. And so what is bad? What is bad is thinking bad thoughts. Thinking wrong thoughts. So God, what am I supposed to do? Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what should I do? Think on these things. So let's line up. Let's line up. Now, I don't know the most popular TV shows out there. All right, now, because of the internet, it's not TV anymore. You got cable, and then you got internet TV. You know, like Amazon has its own HBO and all these other ones. They have their own TV. So let me take one of those shows and say, all right, God, should I watch and think about this show? Okay, let me see. Is it honest, true, pure, good report? I basically knocked out 95% of your viewing. And you know it. All right, so what about communication? Everybody texts now. So when they're texting you, all right, so is there bad language? Is there a verse about that? Okay, so we're in Philippians 4. Let's go to Ephesians. That's one book earlier, Ephesians 4. So, all right, does God, he's correcting me, or he's confronting me and rebuking me, but does he help me? Ephesians 4, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth or in text. That's in the Greek. But that which is good to the use of edifying. So guess what? If I'm texting and saying, you know, and it's vulgar, just send it back and say, I'm not talking to you. Why? Because God's more important to me. This book, guess what it does? It saves me. It teaches me. It confronts me. And it also corrects me. It tells me what is right. Now, I may not like it, and you may not like it. You say, how in the world am I supposed to do that? If I couldn't control my texting, I would throw my phone away. How would I live? I don't know how. I really don't know how they did it before. That's probably why they're all dead. Think about it. I never thought about that till now. I mean, that's probably why they died. In fact, I just thought that's probably historic. Anybody born in 1860 and they didn't have a cell phone is dead today. Oh, my word. It's true. You know what? You can live without it. In fact, that's a challenge to you. This week, do without it and see if you live. You know what you'll find? You'll probably be happier. You'll probably have more time to spend with God. You'll have more time to read this book. You'll have more time maybe to share Christ with somebody. Maybe you'll notice that God made a beautiful world for you to be in. Have you seen it? Or are you like this? Man, God's given us a beautiful place, beautiful world to enjoy. You see, the Word of God, what does it do for us? It saves us, it teaches us, it confronts us, it corrects us. It also guides us. Did you see that verse? We're back in Timothy. All Scripture, it's for doctrine. That's teaching, for reproof, that's confronting, for correction, that's correcting, for instruction in righteousness, that's guidance. Did you know the Bible can guide you? In fact, Christ said that in John chapter 14 and chapter 15 and chapter 16. He said, hey, if I go away, I won't leave you comfortless, and I will give you the Spirit of truth who will guide you into all truth. He gave you a guide, and the Bible is part of it. The Holy Spirit and the Bible work together to guide you. So just like the testimony, James was praying, and he was praying for 3 years for a job. Did God, I noticed that through his testimony. God did what? Guide. He guided his thoughts and aligned them to Scripture, and he said, take a cut. Well, wait a minute. How am I supposed to live? Guess what God said? Live with less. Guide. He will guide you. You know, in our society, it's amazing how we can justify things. We can justify it. Now we can justify hatred. Can't we? There are certain people, they justify hatred. They justify basically shooting people. Why? Because, well, they have a different opinion. They should be shot. In fact, that happened recently down in St. Louis area. I mean, a lady didn't like what the president said and said, he should be assassinated. And then she said, I didn't mean it. Well, then why did you say it? So I take it that every time you open your mouth, we just say stupid, 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 because you say you don't mean anything you say. But guess what? We've been taught in our society that you can say whatever and it doesn't count. That, guess what, the Bible guides me, and the Bible says that my words, death and life, are in the power of the pen, tongue. You know what it also tells me? The Bible says that in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. So you know what it's telling me to do sometimes? Close your mouth. Because the more you talk, the more you sin. Keep it shut. Well, I have my First Amendment right. No, actually, you know what my right is? My right is to follow this, and God tells me, your First Amendment is dictated by the Word of God. So sometimes, shut it. Oh, you don't understand. You don't understand. I gotta follow this book. It guides me. It'll guide me in my steps. It'll guide me in my path. That's what the Word of God is there for. It's a lamp to your feet, isn't it? And a light to your path. The Word of God. Now, our last point here. Look at 2 Timothy. We said in verse 15, what can it do? It can save us. 16, we saw a whole bunch of things. It can teach us. It can confront us. It can correct us. It can guide us. Then why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That idea of thoroughly furnished. You know what the Word of God can do? It equips you. It equips you for what you need to do. That's why I believe in this. I believe in a daily devotion time. I understand there's some guys here, and I've talked to them myself. It's the beauty. I get paid to do what I love. You know what I love doing? I love studying this book. I get paid to do it. So, you know, in some ways, I can make a schedule. So my schedule, I'm going to get up in the morning. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to have my family time where we get together and we pray and teach. And then normally I go back and I get to study some more. I know that's not everybody here. You don't get that. But daily, you need to be going to this. Because this has been promised to equip you. Because God knows what's coming at work. You may not know. Do you know that God knows if you walk in and the boss is going to say, fired? God already knows that. So God can equip you. He can help you. So when it comes, guess what? A boss can come and say, don't you know you got your little Bible there? And do you think that that Bible runs everything? I could fire you. Yep, you can. And you can do it if you want. But if you do, just so you know, if I believe the Bible, God says all things work together for good to them who are called. If I am right with God, that boss, he can fire, he can toss me out, but God already said, it's for your good. Why? Because he equips me daily. Do you know that God knows if some filth bag is going to get in your locker, man, and stick some nasty picture there just to see your reaction? God knows. And if you spend time here, he's going to equip you to maybe shut the door or take it, rip it up, and act properly. Just tell him I'm preaching right now, all right? Just feel free. It's like, he's preaching. But that's what God knows. God knows what's coming. Please, please hit that mute. Hit it. Please, quickly. He's preaching. This is okay to text. All right? Leave me alone. All right? Because guess what the Bible does? It equips us, doesn't it? Equips us. So let me ask you, if the Bible is equipping you, then are you using it? Many years ago, there was, Random House. Random House is a publication, and they do audio now. They do a lot of other things. But Random House recalled 60,000 copies. Think about that. 60,000 copies of a book had to be called back. It was a biography of a lady where errors about a physician were discovered. The returned copies were destroyed. The author, a respected writer, a respected poet, whose other works revealed that, man, he normally did his homework, but somehow he claimed that a doctor had been Hutton's, this lady's private physician from 1940s to the 1970s, and then in 1943 he prescribed this medicine that she became addicted to. The problem was the doctor didn't graduate from medical school until 1954. He also didn't complete his residency until 1960. So in 1943, that was 17 years before he could write a prescription. So that Random House went out. They pulled all the books and they discarded them. They burned them. They did whatever. And they said, we got to get them off the shelves. You know, the Bible has never faced that problem. Centuries after its origin, it maintains the integrity of its proclamations. It maintains the integrity of its denials, its promises, its warnings. It makes no mistakes. It misnames no villains. It forgets no heroes. It makes no mistakes of towns or places. It is exactly what God said. It has never changed. It doesn't have to be recalled. It doesn't have to be re-verified. It doesn't have to be checked for accuracy. Time passage. Our time passes, knowledge increases, fads come and go, political views vary, but this word has remained the same. It is unchanged. So I ask you, how much do you use it? The power of the Word of God, it can save you, teach you, confront you, correct you, guide you, equip you. It's all right here. And yet, why do I gotta read it? Because it has the power to change you. I say this often, and I find illustrations almost every time I preach on the Word of God. And I found another one. In Northern England, in an addict, Mr. Hartus was rummaging through his attic and found a hare among plants with a robin, lizard, and insects. I had no idea what that was. It was the only existing painting of the painter in the 1500s, Hans Hoffmann. And I had no idea who that was either. He cleaned it up. And he found that the painting was almost in perfect condition. It was sitting in his attic the whole time for years and years and years. Appraisers came. And it was worth $610,000. Sitting in his attic. Some of you are going to check your attics now, aren't you? Basements. And all you got is garbage, just so you know. I think some of them, they just make up these stories so we read them. So we'll clean our basements out. But think about it. That was there the whole time. You know what I have right here? This is a gold mine. This is more valuable than some rare painting. This is God's Word. Do you know what it has taken for God to preserve this for you and I? For the centuries that it is now sits in our lap, it has cost blood. It has cost thousands of lives. People have died to bring this to you. And, oh, well. Oh, the power of the Word of God. Will you avail yourself of the power of the Word of God to change you? Could be that you're here this morning And my first point was that the power of the Word of God can save you. And you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. We'd love to introduce you to the God of this book. The Savior that this book talks about. He can save you. You can't do it. You can't save yourself. I can't save you. A church can't save you. But this book can introduce you to Christ who can save you. Heads bowed, eyes closed.